WWK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News special report. Two major earthquakes have struck off the coast of Northern California. A tsunami warning was issued after a magnitude 7.0 quake was felt, and residents of Eureka have been urged to move inland. This woman called into KCBS Radio from Eureka.
This one was a hard jolt and then a long roll for close to 45 seconds.
The first quake struck at 10:44 a.m. local time at a depth of 6.2 miles in the Pacific Ocean west of the town of Ferndale. It was followed by smaller aftershocks. The main quake was widely felt across Northern California and as far south as San Francisco, where residents felt a rolling motion for several seconds. Here's KCBS radio anchor Margie Schaefer.
We had actually two earthquakes up in far Northern California. The first one actually happened in the ocean. That was the 7.0. That was 99 kilometers west-southwest of Ferndale. This is according to the U.S. Geological Survey.
CBS News special report.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A Milwaukee honcho is headed to Washington. President-elect Donald Trump has nominated Frank Bisignano, the CEO of Milwaukee-based Fiserv, Inc., to lead the Social Security Administration. In Trump's announcement, he praised the CEO's record of transforming large corporations. Bisignano has held top positions at JPMorgan Chase and Citigroup and will continue in his current role at Fiserv until confirmation. Tonight, the Cheer District comes alive for the holidays. The city of Milwaukee is hosting its 111th annual Christmas tree lighting ceremony. The event near the Fiserv Forum has live music, Santa Claus, reindeer, and a special appearance by Bango. There's free parking at both the Highland structure on 6th Street and the 5th Street parking structure. A warm-up is coming, but yesterday did get a little nuts in places. Lisa Hale has more.
Whiteout conditions, slick and slippery roads, and treacherous travel met motorists across the state yesterday when snow squall warnings were issued in several areas. A Green Bay woman, Rebecca Rockhill, was driving from Milwaukee home when the storms hit.
It was probably about the worst I've ever driven in 53 years.
Law enforcement across the region reported numerous crashes, vehicles off the road, and other hazards. Wisconsin DOT recommends checking 511.wi.gov to get road condition updates whenever weather strikes.
The airport drop-off could get costlier in the new year. A $3 drop-off fee for Uber, Lyft, and other rideshare services at Mitchell moved closer to approval after a unanimous vote by a Milwaukee County committee this week. The measure still needs final approval from the county board. If they do approve it, the new cost could begin January 1st. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
It's the Packers and the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers in primetime again against the 11-1 Detroit Lions at Ford Field. Green Bay will be without defensive back Jaire Alexander and receiver Romeo Doubs, both dealing with injuries. The Lions have two good running backs, the powerful David Montgomery and speedy Jahmyr Gibbs. Packers nickelback Javon Bullard.
I mean, they got two guys, like you said, that can really go. Two different styles of running, two different styles of schemes that they use. So we got to be tied into both of those guys. Each of them are very special.
NBA, the Bucks losing at home to the Atlanta Hawks, 119-104. Giannis led with 30 points. Damian Lillard, 25. Head coach Doc Rivers.
I thought Giannis and Dame almost tried to will the game, which is probably not good either because exerting so much energy there. So, you know, one thing I wish I had to play like 12 in the first half. I actually talked about that with my staff. I thought we should have done it and kind of got talked out of it.
The Bucks head to Boston to play the Celtics tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Beautiful today, with the sunshine making a return alongside breezy winds still, gusting to around 30 miles per hour and high temperatures flirting with 30. Highs today will really feel more like the teens. The cold weather has a grip on us tomorrow still, with a warm-up moving in this weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 24 degrees.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart,
heart, and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll be live at WRCE in Richland Center. An entire hour of the Ewing brothers, Brady and Brandon, sports, life, outdoors, and more, and Peter Rapine. Join us then.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Your new choice. Real news, great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Everybody, happy Friday Eve. It is Thursday afternoon and it is damn cold here in the upper Midwest, yes. But at least it is sunny. I'm Maggie Dawn. Everybody, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. As I do every Thursday, I'm joined by my friend and co-host Tom Paulswitz, a two-time congressional candidate, Navy veteran, small business owner, and all-around reasonable guy. How's it going, Tom?
It's great to be here, but like you said, it's darn cold out there.
It is darn cold. I went to have a drink yesterday with my little buddy who's got the great show, Follows Mine, every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. I met Dom Salvia at a joint right by the lakefront on the near south side of Milwaukee.
Ouch.
And I got out of the car. Yes. And I thought I was going to get blown away like I was Mary Poppins. It was so exactly. windy and so cold.
Yes.
But Tom, I did want to first of all say thank you for guest hosting the show over the Thanksgiving break. You did a capital job. And I also wanted to give you an opportunity because there's still time to give. We're 2 days after Giving Tuesday. But this week, I've given listeners the opportunity to shout out some of their favorite charities that they've either donated to in time or talents, or that they know of that they think are worthy of mention. And of course, Civic Media, we're supporting Giving Tuesday. You can go to civicmedia.us/giving. And we've got a list of some of our favorites, like statewide organizations as well as local ones. But I wanted to give you the chance, Tom. I know you've been always very involved in your community. If there were any organizations that you'd like to give a special shout out to this afternoon.
Yeah, I will shout out Courage MKE. I just think they're a fantastic
I called them out yesterday. They're one of my faves.
Yeah, I had Brad, the executive director, on with me. He's just it's just such a needed space, and what they're doing is so
remind
important.
Folks what they do, what Courage MKE does.
What they do is they take at-risk LGBTQ kids and find a place for them to live and set them on a course for success, and that is especially hard to do. So yes. What a wonderful organization. So and just want to point them out again.
Show LGBTQIA plus youth some love, right?
Yes.
Lots of love. A safe place and some affirmations. I think it's an amazing organization. Very proud of the work that Brad has done with that group. Again, that's Courage MKE. But again, Civic Media's got you covered. If that's not your cup of tea, just go to civicmedia.us/giving. And again, we've got a list of all of our favorite charities, both statewide and right there in your local communities. But Tom, fitting that we both have have such support and affinity and love the organization Courage MKE. And one of the things that I wanted to speak with you today about was the oral arguments before the Supreme Court that occurred this week. In fact, just yesterday morning, it seems like it was many days ago, but that was just yesterday morning on a ban, basically a ban with no exceptions. Yes. That was put into place to prohibit all transgender, gender-affirming care to minors of any variety in the state of Tennessee. Those oral arguments had held before the Supreme Court on Wednesday morning. And at the root of the question is the law in and of itself gender discrimination, right? That's one of the threshold questions. And if it is, it gets heightened scrutiny, meaning it's likely going to have some constitutional hurdles, right? This is, if you've heard this stuff before, everybody, this is the difference between rational basis and strict scrutiny. There's sort of a mid-level scrutiny. It's called intermediate scrutiny if you're a legal wonk. And that's one of the big questions in this case is how do you review these laws? And it's important to note, before I turn it over to you, Tom, for some of your thoughts, that every single court that has reviewed these kinds of laws has found that intermediate scrutiny applies. But that is not what the Sixth Circuit, the Federal Appeals Court, concluded in this case that has now made its way to the Supreme Court. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals decided somewhat counterintuitively, like it's a law that prevents people from changing their genders through medical care that they discuss with their family and agree to with their health provider, but it's not gender discrimination, which just seems weird. But the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals declared that this law should be reviewed under a rational basis approach, which almost always leads to the outcome where the law is upheld. So with that as sort of the big picture, and also just this as perhaps even the bigger picture, I think Democrats have really struggled to have meaningful, nuanced discussions about issues relating to transgender care, especially for minors. And that what it's defaulted to is this sort of all or nothing approach, which is one of the things that I think is holding us back from having more productive dialogue about that. That's just kind of my two cents. And I'll just note this other fact about the case in Tennessee. It is also discriminatory because the sorts of therapies that they are attempting to ban in Tennessee can be prescribed and given to non-transgendered children. So I just want to be like, whether that's breast augmentations, cosmetic procedures, hormone therapy. Correct. Yep. All of those things can be given to children in the state of Tennessee as long as they are cisgendered. Cisgendered meaning your gender identity, who you think you are, conforms to the gender that you are assigned at birth or your natal gender. And that is this interest, like it is discrimination because it's one set of rules for children that are cisgendered and it's another set of rules that restrict the medical options available to trans kids. And to me, Tom, maybe that's where we can start this afternoon, because the idea that parents could order up big boobs for their cisgender daughter, but a kid that has...
Perfectly legal, by the way.
Right, yep. Perfectly legal, yep. That has genuine gender dysphoria as a trans woman, they can't have that kind of intervention. And that's an extreme example, right? But just your thoughts, Tom, as we approach this issue and whether you want to come in on the law of it or the bigger picture from how do we have better conversations about these issues?
I'm going to walk it back to the big picture for a minute. At least the way I think about it is, you know, what we're talking about is healthcare. And then what we're talking about is healthcare for minors. And when you think about who has the right to not only administer, but also receive healthcare, is that that's a pretty much a given right. It doesn't mean we have affordability and accessibility necessarily, But there aren't a lot of laws that say what healthcare you can do and what you can withhold to an average person. You know, and I've had my wife and I have some family members who have transitioned as youth. And, you know, these things, when I look at what happens in the process, this is not taken lightly. This isn't a spur of the moment decision. This isn't something that happens over, you know, even a 1 year time frame. This is a long time frame where there's lots of discussions. There's lots of exploratory conversations, not only from a healthcare standpoint, but also from a mental healthcare standpoint to say, is this really what you want? And the way I describe it, is this really who you are? And it's just allowing people to be who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And Republicans have insisted that this is the rail that they want to use to incite their base over and over and over again. I think the last number I saw was there was $123 million spent on ads, anti-trans ads, in the last campaign alone.
Well, and the one ad, right, that everyone talked about with Charlemagne the God and one of his co-hosts, right, repeatedly saying Kamala Harris supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners and migrants that do not have legal status, basically played on loop. And all of the exit polling coming out of the election basically put this issue number three. It was inflation, the border, and this issue, which in and of itself tells you how the conversation has just gotten completely dominated by the extreme sort of polarizing ends of this spectrum. And despite the fact that trans people are a very tiny, tiny percentage of us, this was the number three issue, not like the environment or gun regulation, like trans healthcare for trans people, that somehow that's the thing that's got everybody
an
really
issue,
stirred
by
up.
The way, that has no impact on everyone else.
Correct.
No
this,
impact.
This is a really
this
big.
Is just this is just allowing people to live their lives the way they want to live their lives.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm joined every Thursday by Tom Paulsiewicz. He sits in the co-host chair with me. Today, we're kicking off the show talking about the trans healthcare decision that was argued before the Supreme Court of the United States Wednesday. So as not to bury the lead, it appears based on the Q&A that occurred during the oral argument that the Supreme Court's right-leaning conservative bloc is nearly certainly going to uphold Tennessee's wholesale, complete and total ban of trans care, transgender, gender-affirming care across the board. And again, this law doesn't apply to cisgendered kids who can still get every single medical intervention that is prohibited under the Tennessee law for transgendered kids. I don't know about you all, but that sure sounds like gender discrimination to me. I don't know what the hell else you would call it. And I think it's really interesting to point out that Neil Gorsuch wrote a decision a number of years ago about discrimination in the workplace against transgendered people. And he was pretty explicit about whether or not rules crafted just for transgendered people are in fact discriminatory. I'll tell you what Neil Gorsuch said then and what he may or may not have said yesterday when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network with special co-host Tom Paulsiewicz. We continue the discussion after these brief messages. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Come celebrate Country Christmas at the Ingleside Hotel in Milwaukee. Drive through the over mile-long trail of spectacular lights and holiday displays, then visit Christmas Village, our model train room, and our life-size nativity in the streets of Bethlehem. Enjoy a family evening out, or turn your night into a magical staycation with overnight accommodations and passes to Springs Water Park. Details and offers at thecountrychristmas.com.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
Hey everybody, hope you're having a fine Thursday afternoon, albeit cold. It is beautiful and sunny, a crisp winter's day here in Wisconsin and beyond. I am Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the Supreme Court oral arguments held yesterday morning about whether or not a state can ban all health care for transgendered kids that relates to their gender. All of it. And yet, continue to permit the exact same kind of medical interventions and treatments for cisgendered children. Okay for me, but not for thee. It seems to be the theme of the old GOP these days. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Now, back in 2020, there was an employment discrimination case that the Supreme Court heard, and it was called Bostock v. Clayton County. And the question before the court then was whether federal civil rights laws protected transgender people from employment discrimination. The court answered yes. And Justice Neil Gorsuch, one of the conservative-leaning justices, wrote the court's opinion in that case and said this: "It is impossible to discriminate against a person for being homosexual or transgender without discriminating against that individual based on sex." Well, thank you, Justice Gorsuch. I'm so glad that we got that clarified. My special guest host is Tom Paulswitz. Notably, yesterday on this very question of is it discriminatory, which I cannot, you would have to tie yourself into just absolute theoretical pretzels to not see this law as discriminatory and meriting an intermediate level of scrutiny. First of all, Justice Gorsuch basically didn't speak during yesterday's arguments.
Yes, he was very quiet.
Very eerily quiet. And yep. The second thing I wanted to point out was that Clarence Thomas tried to suggest that, oh, no, this isn't sex discrimination. It's age discrimination, and that's fine because this only applies to kids, which is interesting. Like, ooh, we'll just double down on the sorts of discrimination. And it,
yes.
And also, he knows better. It's sex discrimination.
Yes.
Tom, you know, when we look at this, why do you think Democrats are having such a hard time talking about this sensibly and in a way that doesn't sound like it's so far left and out of touch with where regular people are? They may not know trans people. Like, where is the miss? I feel like we're not educating or being open to people's, frankly, understandable lack of knowledge on this topic. It's really only burst into public view in the last few years. What's the miss here, Tom?
Well, I think there's a couple. One is that, you know, at least the transgender people I know aren't looking for the limelight. You know, they just want to live their lives. In fact, the less scrutiny, the better, because the less crazy people that will come at them for a whole bunch of different reasons. Yeah. And so that goes across the entire LGBTQ plus community, is that a lot of times they just, you know, people just want to be left alone because there's a lot of crazy people who will hate them without having even met them. But I think the other part is now we're what, almost a half hour into this show, and we've touched on the subject, right? It's a very complex subject, which is not easily digestible in a soundbite, which makes the Republicans who are using this anti-trans rhetoric, it makes it easy for them. Because we should just hate these people. I think what was the commercial where it was Tammy Baldwin is for they, them.
They used it in the Harris ads too. Yeah. That was the big ad. She's for they, them, and Donald Trump's for you.
Right. You're just like, wait a minute. This is a group of people, first and foremost, right? This is a group of people who have feelings, who are human beings and deserve respect. And every once in a while I hear somebody say that, well, they deserve our respect until we have to attack them because it riles up our base and we make money. But I think that's the overriding issue, is it's a complex issue. One of the questions I had for you, Maggie, that's been bouncing in my head is why the age discrimination? Like, what changes once somebody, and as I understand Tennessee, I think the age of consent is 19. Mm-hmm. What changes at 19 that suddenly allows this to be okay if it's not okay for a minor?
Generally speaking, that distinction, what sort of discrimination it is, triggers what level of scrutiny it is. And age discrimination would not trigger these heightened levels of scrutiny. Minors are presumptively have more rights. The government can structure laws differently for minors, et cetera, et cetera. So if it's not sex discrimination, but is age discrimination, you're more likely to end up in the rational basis review. And then it's nearly certain that the law gets upheld. But if it is gender discrimination, which will have to be a question that the justices confront, which they have already answered in the affirmative, you should be in the intermediate scrutiny area. And then it's a much more rigorous investigation that requires basically an important government objective, and that the law is substantially related to that objective. Here, that rationale is like, we're doing this for the health and safety of children. But of course, there is a body of research, and granted, right, there is not enough research in this area. That's been one of the, and that research is continuing to develop as a body of science.
Absolutely, but that statement is fundamentally not true.
Yes.
In fact, it's much more, as I understand, it's much more difficult to transition after puberty.
Correct.
Than it is to transition before puberty or during puberty.
Well, and here's a little bit of legal wonk for you, Tom, and we're going to take care of some more business. But one of the questions that the appellants, right, the families challenging this law wanted the Supreme Court to answer was whether or not this ban violates the fundamental right of parents to make decisions concerning the medical care of their children. And fascinating enough, the Supreme Court did not take that question up, which would have substantially complicated the case, right, and is, of course, one... parental freedoms. I think I've been hearing something about that from the right these past years.
So you're saying, Maggie, that the Supreme Court has already decided, and now they're going to try to fit the logic to fit the outcome?
Yeah, cram that square peg into a round hole.
I haven't seen the Supreme Court do that.
So yeah, it's shocking. Can you hear the sarcasm?
Surprising.
Our conversation continues after the farm update right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, y'all.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Well, the weather didn't necessarily help, but we did find success with this year's Wisconsin gun deer season. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. We'll get some numbers for you next.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Surprise! We had good success this year during Wisconsin's 9-day gun deer season. Jeff Pritzel is the DNR's deer program specialist, and he said the harvest numbers even surprised him because of how late the hunt occurred this year.
I guess what makes it unique this year is that the factor that we expect to influence the gun season harvest is that we had the latest possible opener that we can have on the calendar. And that usually has a negative effect on the harvest compared to the previous year, and that didn't happen this year. And it's a combination of we had a down harvest last year to begin with, and so it was a little easier to beat it. But we also, coming off of a mild winter last winter, that helped too. And so hunting opportunity or harvest opportunity was a little better this year.
Jeff Pritzel, he is the DNR's deer program specialist. By the numbers, hunters registered 189,622 deer harvested this year. That's up 5.2% from last year and up 1.2% from the five-year average.
With over 60 years of experience in the auction business, Steffes Group is the trusted source for buying high-quality equipment. From farm and construction equipment to transportation and land, Steffes Group auctions feature a diverse selection of assets for whatever your needs may be. Bid with confidence, knowing that Steffes Group's team of professionals prioritize honesty, integrity, and outstanding service. Visit steffesgroup.com to view their upcoming auctions and start bidding on the equipment you need today.
And the Wisconsin Farmers Union happy to celebrate the grand opening of their Market on River. This is their headquarters for the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Market on River provides Chippewa Falls with a food hall, event venue, residential and community gathering space, as well as the Wisconsin Farmers Union headquarters. The ribbon cutting for the big event happens tomorrow at River Street in Chippewa Falls. Just a quick update on what's happening in food news for a Wednesday. More available anytime, MidwestFarmReport.com, and do check out all of our interviews on our playlist. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Beautiful today, with the sunshine making a return alongside breezy winds still, gusting to around 30 miles per hour and high temperatures flirting with 30. Highs today will really feel more like the teens. The cold weather has a grip on us tomorrow still, with a warm-up moving in this weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 24 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel on how Donald Trump's picks for top law enforcement posts can damage our independent judiciary.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend smiling faces show no trace then of the evil that lurks within.
Happy Friday Eve, everyone. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got you covered from local news to what's going on around the state of Wisconsin. Our mission here at Civic Media is to bring you real news and great conversation every day. So if you want to stay in the know, subscribe to the Civic Media newsletter today at civicmedia.us/email. I've got a special co-host with me today and every Thursday. His name's Tom Paulswitz. He's a two-time congressional candidate, Navy veteran, small business owner, and all-around pretty nifty guy. We are talking about the oral arguments held before the Supreme Court yesterday regarding Tennessee's complete and total ban of health care for transgendered children. Of course, that ban permits the exact same medical interventions for cisgendered children, but prohibits them for transgendered children, overriding whatever parental decision-making that child's parent, you know, however they would decide to move forward with health care for their child. Couple of things here. You made this point. It was also asked about during oral arguments yesterday, Tom, and that is, in this case and the discussion that we're having right now, we're talking about healthcare for kids. This is not the same discussion, or frankly, has any of the complexities of whether or not transgendered athletes should be permitted to compete, especially at the elite levels or college levels, in the gender identity that they have, as opposed to their natal gender or gender assigned at birth. That's not this discussion, and we're going to get to that this afternoon, but that's not this. And right. The point that you made, Tom, I think is really critical. The Solicitor General for the United States made it yesterday, and that is this. This is a decision made by the child. It has an incredible amount of process and therapy and multiple experts weighing in with their parents' permission that affects only that child and that family. It doesn't affect anyone else. That's distinguishable from rules or bans that address transgendered athletes and where they get to and with whom they compete, because that impacts other people. So that's, to me, that's really challenging. Like, these are parents that want this care for their child. And the fact that the way that this has been approached, and of course, even Justice Alito said, well, Europe's pulling back on this. There's not a single nation in Europe that has addressed this issue that has put in place complete and total bans on all healthcare for transgendered kids. Like, that's not true. They're taking different and sort of nuanced approaches to all of this.
Yes.
So, Tom, when we, again, pull back, right. What do you think the pathway forward is? What do you think the right outcomes are? How do we have better conversation about this topic?
Well, first off, I think it's important for more education. One of the reasons I had Brad from Courage MKE on a couple of weeks ago was strictly that. It's like, I'm not sure how many people out there in the world know someone or are family members or friends or anything else with someone who has either transitioned or transitioned. And I think, to me, that adds a level of empathy that, you know, because I don't think the Republican Party is going to change their tactics. I mean, Nancy Mace came out swinging in Congress when it came to bathrooms. And, you know, but to me, this is one of those elements of, we have chosen, or the Republicans have chosen, a subset of people that currently don't have a voice and can't speak back, and have vilified them in order to gain votes and gain political donors. And so we have to be that voice. And it's continually, just like you're saying, Maggie, it's just talking about it and talking about the nuances of it. But I'm going to go back to what I said earlier, is no one is harmed.
Yeah.
No one is harmed. So if you think about bans that don't harm anyone, how do they make any sense, right? If there's something that's happening that's currently not harming anybody,
why do you ban something? Because
why would you ban it? Right.
Correct.
I mean, just not to trivialize this, but to, you know, the ban that it, that New York City tried against sugary drinks. It's like people were in an uproar because they were going to be told what to drink or what they could or couldn't do. And this is so far, you know, distinct from that this nobody, you would not even know it was happening unless it was brought up in the legislature, unless it was brought up in ads. It would not impact you unless you knew a person who was transitioning permanently.
Well, and this is what makes this kind of spooky, right? And we're approaching slippery slope territory here.
Very much so.
Right? Yes. That's the through line between the Dobbs decision and talking about transgendered care, as well as the LGBTQ community much more broadly. These are decisions that don't have negative impacts on third parties. It doesn't. It's about personal choices and this all or nothing approach. This is what bothers me. Like, here's the place that Democrats have to say, I understand that there's confusion and fear because there's a lack of shared knowledge and understanding. Of course, we want children to be safe, happy, and well. There are legitimate differences of opinion. And in the face of legitimate differences of opinion in our democracy, that means that we withhold, we stand back from the personal choice suppression, right? From treating people differently based on these sorts of characteristics. We'll step back from the brink of that kind of discrimination. And yet, that logic isn't holding here. And that's why it, to me, is a very scary harbinger. I mean, the very idea, if I can be sort of glib for a moment, one of the justices said, oh, well, Europe is pulling back from, you know, they're taking a more limited approach to this. I don't hear you quoting European countries' gun regulations when you review whether or not our Constitution protects gun rights. Like, it's irrelevant. And to the extent that you're referencing European countries' approach to this, guess what they're doing? They don't have wholesale bans. And by the middle ground here, here are some things for people to consider. You could ban surgical intervention until the age of majority. You could require review by numerous medical professionals. You could require a waiting period. You could require a ramping up of hormone therapy. I am not an expert in what these medical interventions are, but I will say, Maggie, care about the substance.
Most of that stuff is already happening.
Yes,
it's already there. And where do you know? Like, if we start to ban parental rights when it comes to their children, where do we stop? You know, when does it become, oh, children are no longer allowed to get tattoos, or they're no longer allowed to do certain things that have a permanent impact on their body, or at what point are parents forced to convert their children to a certain religion because that's what the law says?
Yep.
And if you think these things are far-fetched, this is what a decision like this would open things up to.
Well, and on the flip side of this very sort of similar question, conservatives riot when jurisdictions have attempted to ban the thoroughly debunked, not a thing, quote, conversion therapy, where we will therapize kids out of their being gay, right?
Like, with numerous medical studies stating that it does not work. In fact, it's incredibly harmful.
Right. A couple of texters on the text line. If you want to join our conversation, because we're all about real news and great conversation here at Civic Media, that's 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn, joined by co-host Tom Paulswitz this afternoon. Andrew from Maine pointing out that H.R. 9218, the Defining Male and Female Act of 2024, was introduced in the House of Representatives on July 30th, 2024. It is currently in the Judiciary Committee of the House. It is an attempt by Congress to legally define two sexes based on genitalia at or before birth. Here's what that is, in my estimation. It is legislating transgendered people out of existence. It's saying to people, you do not exist. And I'll just share with you all what my 82-year-old dad had to say about this, which I thought was simple and common sense. He's like, for the entirety of human history, we have historical records of transgendered people existing.
Yes.
These people exist. Every human being is entitled to equal rights and dignity and the opportunity to live their American dream and to be who they want to be, to fulfill their hopes and aspirations. You can't legislate people out of existence. It's so offensive at a really deep level, and forgetting the offensiveness of it, it's irrational. Like, transgendered people have existed for the entirety of human history. They're here. Right. So are we going to go back on our most basic principles as Americans that we think people should be treated fairly and equally?
Well, but that wasn't codified till the Civil War.
Right.
And I think we have to remember that, right? That this grand experiment we call American democracy has made huge leaps throughout the last 250 years. And this is just another area where the same playbook is being run, right? You've got the Bible, you've got religion, you've got people saying that this is the way God intended it to be, and we can't fool with that as mere mortals, when none of that ends up being true.
Well, unless somebody's got a bat phone to God, like, you're just giving your best educated guess on what you think God says about these things, and your best guess is no more worthy or accurate than my best guess. And right. I say, that's not what God says about transgendered people.
But
that's
I'm also going to go back to
democracy.
I'm going to go back to the no harm idea, right? There is no one is being harmed by people living their best life.
Correct. Correct. Cardi, there is a caller, if you don't mind screening that lovely person. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Another text coming in here. Where did this go? Mary from Mount Horeb asked, would the result of this case apply to Tennessee, or would it apply nationally? The only law that's being reviewed here, Mary, is Tennessee's ban. But if the Supreme Court affirms or allows Tennessee's ban to remain law, it will mean that the laws in other states will not be challenged. So it has national implications. It will also create incentives for Republican-controlled states other than Tennessee to adopt these blanket bans, which are facially gender discriminatory.
And I think that's up to 20 different states at this point.
It's creeping up there. Tom from Jackson, can you ask Tom what the other two issues were when that were mentioned when people were voting? I was actually talking about that. Number one was inflation. Number two was the border. Number three was transgender care issues. Oh, my goodness. That's number three. Andrew,
and just so people know that voter fraud and inflation are no longer a problem.
Yeah.
So since the election, they've disappeared as an issue. Yeah,
we're not talking about those anymore.
We're good.
We're good. All fixed. No sweat. Andrew from Maine saying, if they can ban health care, should I be able to ban excessive income and grotesque wealth? I love where your head is
at. As long
at.
As you're a minor, I guess the answer will be yes, correct?
Yes. Mary from Tosa saying, in support of trans persons, education is paramount.
Yes.
We're going to continue this discussion. When we come back, we're going to talk about transgendered athletes in sport and why that is a different and some respects more challenging discussion than should parents and children be able to pick healthcare that affects only that child. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to have more with my special co-host Tom Paulswitz after these messages. I really want you to engage this conversation with us. Difficult, complicated, yep, but we got to be able to talk through these things. That's what we're all about right here on Civic Media. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Please drive and text carefully and keep it locked right here. This great discussion coming right back to you after these brief messages.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
It's Holiday Havoc with the stars of Bruce City Wrestling. Saturday, December 14th, Jingle Bells Bash at the Waukesha Elks Lodge, 2301 Springdale Road. The reigning BCW World Heavyweight Champion, the Unholy One, Sean Priest, faces the formidable challenger, the freak show thriller, Salem Crane. Plus six more Fandemonium matches and two Holiday Ham giveaways. It's a night of epic battles you won't want to miss. Cards up to change. Go to BruceCityWrestling.com and Happy 8 Collectibles at Southridge Mall for tickets. Doors open at 6:45. Jingle Bells Bash, Saturday, December 14th. Be there!
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide Text to Win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win starting Monday morning. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle. Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your new choice. Real News. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. I've got a special co-host this Thursday and every Thursday. His name is Tom Paulswitz. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've been talking about transgender care. We're now going to talk about transgendered athletes and with whom they should compete. And that is an entirely different question than whether or not people should be able to select the healthcare that they want when that decision impacts no one but themselves. If you want to join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And we've got a great guest coming up that's going to speak with Tom and I at the top of the hour. His name is John Diedrich. He's a reporter for the Journal Sentinel. You know, over the last 2+ years, John has been investigating and reporting on gun violence and gun deaths right here in the state of Wisconsin. His most recent piece in that series dropped this morning in the Journal Sentinel about accidental shootings of children that involve children and the differing approaches from county to county right here in the state of Wisconsin. We're going to have that conversation coming up next, right at the top of the hour with John. You're not going to want to miss that. John is a Pulitzer Prize winning reporter. I'm really excited to talk with him. But let's talk about transgendered athletes. And fundamentally, I think these two issues have gotten conflated, right? Yes. That people think, well, if transgender healthcare is available, that of course means that transgendered athletes compete wherever their identities lead them. And they're actually two very different questions, and we need to stop conflating them. Tom, your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to go to a different issue real quick before we go there. You know, because it's really about at least the way the advertising is going. It's about bathrooms and it's about athletics.
Yep.
So in a whole bunch of different sections of the world, there are bathrooms. They're not different gendered bathrooms. There are bathrooms.
It's just bathrooms.
And every human being needs a bathroom. For some reason in this country, we've made it an issue about, you know, everybody going to the correct bathroom for whatever reason. And I think I was at the Baird Center about 3 weeks ago, and they have a whole bunch of all gender bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, finally, we've got, you know, new construction realizing that it's much more expensive to create two sets of bathrooms instead of just going, we have a bathroom and you can go use it. And no one batted an eye.
And well, I think that's every woman in the world is like, yes, can we just go to bathrooms? Because yes. I'm sick of waiting in line at sporting events and concerts to get into the restroom.
So there's that issue, which to me seems to be at the forefront. But, you know, it at least to me, it's a non-issue. But then the sports one, like you said, Maggie, it's a little more nuanced. But it's more nuanced than just when we talk about transgender athletes. We talk about just athletes.
Yes.
Right. And the line between men's and women's sports has slowly been blurring over time anyways. And there are far more places, especially one thing I can think about, right off the top of my head is wrestling. If you think about high school wrestling, there are now many, many girls who are wrestling in high school and in college than there used to be. And at first it was, you know, young men had a hard time wrestling girls because it was like, okay, this just isn't acceptable. And then they started getting their butt kicked and they realized that, okay, maybe I better compete.
Well, and you're pointing to the thing. I think there are really important and interesting distinctions to make as soon as we start talking about athletics.
Yes.
One of the reasons that girls can compete with boys in wrestling is because of the definition of weight classes, right? So
yes.
There is an internal equalizing mechanism. When I boxed in New York, when I had sparring matches, there weren't a whole lot of like 185 pound, 6 foot tall women in New York. So I was always sparring with dudes.
And I would have gotten in the ring with you, Maggie. I know that right
fair,
now.
Fair enough. And there's also the distinction between elite level athletes.
Yes.
Where tiny, tiny infinitesimal differences, we're talking about blood oxygenation, skeletal structural, muscle size, lung capacity, where tiny differentiations can make the difference between someone being able to become a professional athlete in their chosen sport or not, that we can approach this and say, hey, there doesn't have to be a one-size-fits-all answer to this question. And one of the other things is that I pulled probably about 12 different articles, and some of them say there is scientific basis to conclude, especially if the transgender person transitioned after puberty, that there are advantages for a transgender female competing against cisgendered females. But the International Olympic Committee just did a study and published it that said that those were minimal. But again, yes. The sample sizes there were really small. So the science is still developing on this. But I think yes. Where we're conferring benefits like giving out scholarships or you're getting professional contracts and the tiny differences matter, there can be a different answer than there might be for does transgender child Sally get to play on T-ball team with other girls in the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade or whatever it is.
Right. And the answer should be yes, she does.
Yes.
Right.
She does. It's interesting to me, again, that the loss of the ability to talk specifically in nuanced areas about difficult topics has seemed to now become our dominating character flaw collectively as Americans. We can do this, y'all. We can have difficult conversations.
Maggie, my first campaign, I said this many times, is that education is basically the underpinnings of democracy. And the
yes.
more, and education does not stop at K-12 or once you're through college or whatever it is, right? Education is, as the world changes, we need to be on board with keeping up with those changes.
Folks, I'm going to put some resources in the show notes for today if you want to learn more about transgendered healthcare issues and trans athletes. So check that out at civicmedia.us. We're going to come back with JS reporter John Dietrich talking about accidental shootings involving children here in Wisconsin on this Thursday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Earl Ingram Jr. will join me. Are democracies around the world under threat, or is democracy just old-fashioned? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News.